Galatians chapter 5 again. Be right back where we've been. All right. Well, good evening. And welcome to the midweek service. And if you would, just take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5 again. And we're going to continue this study on the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll continue this till we're done through all of them. And everything that the Bible says is the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye abide and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His help tonight. Our Father, we do thank You for Your kindness and Your mercy and Your love. We thank You, Lord, for providing for our needs. And Lord, we ask You tonight to just work in the hearts of Your people. And Father, I just ask that You would help me to be a blessing. And I pray You take the Word of God and open our eyes to what we need from You. Lord, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to be showing forth the fruit of the Spirit. And Lord, we just ask You to help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Now, this evening, we're going to be looking at this fruit of the Spirit. And we've already looked at love, we've looked at peace, we've looked at long-suffering, we've looked at gentleness, and tonight we're going to look at goodness. Goodness is another attribute of God. Matter of fact, we sing songs about it, don't we? There's a little kind of chorus song we do. You remember that one? You know, and you can take this song and you can just go all the way through the gospel with it. You know, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. He's so good to me. He bore my sins. He bore my sins. He bore my sins. He's so good to me. Right? Just go on. He shed His blood. He shed His blood. He shed His blood. He's so good to me. And then we could say, He rose again. He's so good to me. Amen. And then He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He's so good for me. Remember casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We could talk about that, and we could talk about it. We talk about the goodness of God, you know. So, and the Bible talks an awful lot about the goodness of God. Exodus 18 and verse 9, and Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. All right. And when Moses was there, when he went back up on the mount, and when he was up on the mount, he was begging God to forgive them their trespass in the incident with the golden calf. God was dealing with him and talking to him, and Moses was interceding for the children of Israel. And he asked God, he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory," in Exodus 33. And God said, "You can't." He said, "You can't see my face and live, but I'll show you my hinder parts." In other words, you won't see the full glory of God, but I'll show you something. And he said, in Exodus 33:19, he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, when God is speaking through Brother Paul, and he's talking about the consequences of sin and the failure of men to repent, he says in Romans 2:4, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Amen. Romans, you go in, there's about 48 verses that I've got before me, just the references here that I could go through that use that word goodness in relation to God in the Bible. The Bible says in Psalm 73 and verse 1, and it says that God is good. All right. In Psalm 34:8, Psalm 100 verse 5, Psalm 135 and verse 3, Psalm 145 and verse 9, Jeremiah 33:11. Lamentations 3:25 and Nahum 1:7, it says the Lord is good. If we go to Psalm 34 real quick, we'll take a look at one of those passages of scripture tonight. Psalm 34. Let me get over there real quick. In Psalm 34, in verse 8, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." And we go all the way through the scriptures, and again, the goodness of the Lord is talked about. It's talked about in reference to his nature, and it's talked about in reference to his behavior. And so when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit being goodness, we're talking about the nature and the character and the behavior of God. And you go through the things that we deal with on everyday basis, the things that we take for granted before we even get to John 3:16 and Jesus dying for our sins and shedding his precious blood and rising from the dead as to provide atonement for our sins and making it possible for us to receive the gift of eternal life through faith in him. Before we even get there, you look at this world, and God tells us He said we're to be like our Father in heaven, right? Why? Because He makes His sun rise upon who? The just and the unjust. And His rain falls on the evil and the good. Doesn't matter how you behave as a man, that you are a recipient. Every one of us is a recipient of God's goodness. And yes, there are a lot of tragic things that go on in this world, and there are natural disasters. But if you look at, if you took everybody gets mad at God about all the natural disasters that come along and the things that happen. Now, those things are the result of mankind's sin. It's sin that cursed this world. When Adam sinned, God said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." And you can read "for thy sake" in two ways. You can read it as because of you, and you can also read it for your benefit. And both are true. The ground, the earth, was cursed because of mankind's sin. But I'll tell you what, you take all the natural disasters and all the hurricanes and volcanoes and earthquakes and tornadoes and every other thing that's ever happened, and you line that up against the wickedness of man, and you want to give a body count of the people that have died of natural disasters or people who have died because of the wickedness of men, just direct acts of men, and there's no comparison. We're worse than any possible natural disaster. The wars, the rapes, the murders, just on and on and on our body count goes, doesn't it? How much blood is on the hands of mankind throughout the centuries? And yet God still is good, isn't He?
Amen.
We deserve so much more, but God's good. People got up this morning, cursed His name, and walked off to work, worked hard all day, or maybe didn't work at all, and made a paycheck and had money in their pocket and a roof over their head. And I know there's a lot of people don't have a roof over their head. Some of them don't have a roof on their head because they've been foolish and their sins have cost them. But the sun still shone, didn't it? Boy, I tell you what, in America, if there's ever a nation that didn't have any right to doubt the goodness of God, we're it. And there are some people who, because of the policies and the behavior and actions of men, they're in bad straits. But once again, we're talking about men. And yet the sun still shone, the earth's still there, all the things that are happening, flowers are still blooming. Right? All of that's the goodness of God. Amen. Goodness is a characteristic of God. It's a trait of God. And His goodness and that characteristic extends to His behavior. So just like every other aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that we've talked about, it is a reflection of the character of God, because the Holy Spirit that dwells in the believer, the Holy Spirit is God. I was talking to the preacher there over at Seminole Baptist Church, and we were just kind of, it was me and him and Brother Barbie and a couple other fellas, and we were just talking about different things that about grace, because that was the message yesterday, was about grace, and we were just talking about it, and he comes from a background of being a lineman. He's doing line work, you know, putting up power poles and all that type, electrical, all that stuff. So he comes from that. So he comes from that. We all use things, but he's talking about, you know, those big old transformers, right? They have big old transformers, and they step down the power, that power that if you got a hold of that power, it would burn you up. But when you step down, to the right voltage, guess what it does? It gives you power. It gives you light. It gives you heat. It gives you what you need, right? And so he was talking about that. And in a very real sense, the Holy Spirit is like that transformer. It takes the awesome power of God and puts it in this flesh. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. But the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to show forth God's goodness and to do good. If we look at the scriptures in Psalm 34, verse 14, he says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Psalm 37 and verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Psalm 37 verse 27, "Depart from evil and do good. Dwell forevermore." Micah chapter 2 and verse 7, talking about the Word of God, he says, "Oh," and there's a reflection there in the Word of God, obviously. He said, "Oh, thou that art named the house of Judah, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly?" That's another measure of the goodness of God. We have his word, don't we? You reckon why the devil wants folks not to have any real confidence on where and what the Word of God is? Because his words will do you good. Amen. Be good if we learned that lesson, wouldn't it? But we look at the things that Jesus said in the Gospels, Matthew 5:44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." We're supposed to be like our Father in heaven. We're supposed to do good to the people that hate us. Look at how much good God does to this world who hates Him. And look at how much good God has done to us who are now believers, but at one time we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And we hated Him. And yet He still did us good, didn't He? Luke 6:27, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you." Luke 6:33, "And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank you have ye? For sinners also do even the same." God's the fruit of the Spirit being born out will enable us to do good even to people that want to do us evil. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." I've said it many times, we're supposed to do good not when we have the time, but when we have the opportunity. Isn't it amazing when we say, "When I have the time, I'm going to do something"? Oftentimes we don't ever do it, do we? Isn't that right? Isn't that true? "Well, I'm going to pray for them when I have the time. I'm going to witness when I have the time. I'm going to do this when I have the time." And you know, the easiest thing for the devil to do is get us in a position where we don't feel like we have the time, and help us lie to ourselves about it. That's why God says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." But can you not see that the Spirit of God is there to help us do good? If you were to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says this. In verse 17, he says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, that they do good. 1 Peter chapter 3. Go there real quick. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 10, it says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Over and over, we're told to do good. And the Spirit of God is in us for the purpose of enabling us to do good, to have good behavior, to show forth the goodness of God. We're looking at the scriptures, and in Romans chapter 15 verse 14, he says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." How could he say they're filled with goodness? How could he say, "I know you're filled with goodness"? By the way, it's God speaking through the apostle, not just the apostle saying. How can God say that? He can say that because it's true. Because if we're saved, if we're born again, if the Spirit of God abides in us, that goodness that is God's character, that is shown forth in His behavior, is in us. And when we yield to the Spirit, it can come out. It'll naturally show up. And these are the type of things. A lot of times, you know, when we talk about knowing whether somebody is filled with Spirit, being able to judge, you really can't look inside anybody and see, but you can see their behavior. And I'm not saying people can't fake it. People do good works for the wrong reason all the time. There are people who do good works out of self-righteousness. "Well, I'm doing more good than I am bad. I know I'm going to go to heaven." Well, no, you're going to die and go to hell, because if you could get to heaven by doing more good than you did bad, Jesus wouldn't have had to die for your sorry soul. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? There's none righteous, no, not one. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what the Bible tells us about ourselves. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power." When we're talking about the goodness of God, we don't just talk about His character. We talk about His works toward the children of men. We talk about His works to the nation of Israel. We talk about the works, His works to a lost and dying world. We talk about His works to believers, right? We're talking about the things that He does. And everything He does, it's good. And we see the goodness of the Lord. And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. You wouldn't have gotten saved without the goodness of God. And so that's just the truth of it. Nobody could have got saved without the goodness of God. So we're looking at this passage of Scripture, and we're looking at it in such a way, and I want you to understand something. As we go through this fruit of the Spirit, goodness is kind of like the hinge pin here. All right? You got, all right, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All right? So you look at that goodness, it's almost like the hinge pin. You know, you can say you love, or you can show you love. Right? You can say you have joy, or people can see you have joy. You can say you have peace, or people can see you have peace. You can talk about long suffering, or you can show long suffering. You can talk about gentleness, or you can show gentleness. And all the attributes of God, all these wonderful, high and lofty attributes, His holiness, His justice, His righteousness, His truth, His love, His mercy, His redemption, they all add up to goodness, don't they? God's just good. God is just good. And so when we look at this and we understand this, it's no wonder in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9 it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Now we're going to get to that verse and look at it. But here's a sneak preview. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all these things that we show here, all of these things that comprise the fruit of the Spirit, that are manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, that are manifestations of the character of God, all of them, they add up to God's goodness. And God's good. Now, I don't know how else to say this tonight, but, you know, if you want to talk about being filled with the Spirit and there's no goodness to you, don't be surprised if people call you a liar. Don't be surprised if people don't believe you. You know, there's a lot of things that we're supposed to do as I go through the Scripture. I'm just going through the things that the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be. And we go through this and here's what we're supposed to be doing. This is the way we are supposed to behave. And God has given us the ability through the indwelling of His Spirit. And when you and I get filled with the Spirit, guess what? When you and I get filled with the Spirit, it makes a difference. That's when you can see this. That's when our brothers and sisters can see it. That's when the world can see it. We can't hide it. So when we look at this passage of Scripture and we look at what it says the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. You know, people that exhibit goodness, they love good things. You remember what Timothy was told, talking about how a preacher ought to be, like for a pastor, he ought to be what? A lover of good men. We love good things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be, and I'm not quoting everything there exactly, but if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Our focus is on things that are good, not things that are wicked. I'll just be honest with you, in a lot of professing Christians today, they spend more time and get more joy out of things that are actually wicked than they do out of good things. But if you're filled with the Spirit, you're gonna like good things. You're gonna gravitate toward good things. You're gonna see good behavior come out. Your goodness is not just gonna be a bunch of talk. You're gonna want to be like God and even do good to the people that do evil to you. Somebody cusses you, the old flesh wants to rear up. And cuss them back. Somebody does you wrong, the flesh rears up, wants to do them back. But the Spirit looks at him and says, just like Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't understand what they're doing. Lord, would you open their eyes and let them see? And you're not going to render cursing for cursing and railing for railing, but contrarywise a blessing. You're going to try to find a way to be a blessing. You're going to show forth God's goodness. One of the ways we're going to do it is to preach the gospel. There's no, let me say it in old time slang, I guess you could call it, you know. A lot of people talk about their Christian walk and their walk with God, and I've heard many people just get up there and we laugh at it, and they say, it just gets gooder and gooder. Well, when we yield to the Spirit, you'll be gooder. And the things of God will be gooder and gooder. And we won't just say it, we'll mean it. We won't just say it to make people laugh and smile. It'll be the heart cry. You know, he said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I mean, we could go on and on talking about the things that the Bible tells us we're supposed to be, but we're just supposed to do good. You can define good a lot of ways, can't you? I mean, love can be good. Faith, good. Meekness, good. Temperance, good. Gentleness, good. Joy, good. Peace, good. Long-suffering, good. All manifestations of the goodness of God. You know, we talked about long-suffering a couple weeks ago. And we talked about God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But what did it say before that? He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's long-suffering, that is a manifestation of God's goodness. And what do we do? What does this world do? Oh, where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. People are going to die and go to hell, and one day they'll stand before God, and they will not be able to deny the goodness of God. When those books are open, and that book of life is opened, and they're judged according to their works, and they have to look at their works against the redemptive work of God, and their name is not found written in the book of life when it could have been had they just humbled themselves and believed God. They're gonna acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They're gonna bow the knee, and their tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They're going to say He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He did die for me. I'm lost because I rejected the goodness of God. And when it says let God be true and every man a liar, that's going to be manifest on that day. Beloved, if you are born again, if you've if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, God's goodness is there. But the only way it comes out, if we get ourselves to the point where we can say yes to God and just yield to the Spirit of God. We've got to be able to do that. We've got to learn to do that. We've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a command. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, right? But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You wonder why you don't see a whole lot of Spirit-filled Christians? It's because people that profess to be Christians, most of them were just listening to the same old music the world is. Same song, same everything. There's never a break, is there? We don't turn our back on wickedness. We embrace it. And then we wonder why we just so dry spiritually and all these things. And isn't it amazing the contempt that people have for the old time hymns? They don't like them, do they? That's boring. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? You know what we say? We say, I'm not a worm. I'm not that bad. There's a new, some church, I don't know who it is, maybe Southern Baptist or somebody, are putting out a new campaign, and it's called He Gets Us. And they go around there and they are making like Jesus just understands everything that we do and everything like that. But they want people to have this idea about God. Well, he's a good sort of fella. He's kind of like you. He understands, you know, why you do the things you do, and there's truth in that. He does understand. He knows why we do the thing. It's called sin. That's what's bothering us. That's what's hurting us. That's what's killing us. It's just sin. And the results of sin, the wages of sin is death. But, you know, people want a God that's not going to... I don't want all that judgmental stuff. And that's why they can't see their need for salvation. Because they're believing in another Jesus. You know, there's all kinds of songs about that, with that same sentiment nowadays. Talking about God as He's just one of the crowd. You know, he all those things in the Bible, they can't be true. God can't be like that. Well, that's nothing but idolatry. That's just trying to think that God's just the same as us. He's not. God's not a man that He should lie, or the Son of Man that He should repent. And people want to look at the compassion and the goodness of God, and they neglect the glory and the power and the holiness of God. They reject the sovereignty of God, that God's the boss. That He's Lord of all. No, He's just there to pick me up when I fall down and when I'm feeling bad and all that type of stuff. And yes, God, hey, I can tell you, the God I know, He's always there for me. But He's not just watching me do things that are wrong and reaching over and patting me on the head and saying, oh, bless your heart. He's not doing that. No, when I do wrong, He takes me to the woodshed. My Heavenly Father loves me. He chastens me when I need it. Because He's good. You know, you look at people out here today and they just let the kids run wild. They're too afraid to discipline them. And our government and our schools and everything else are filled filled with children who have no discipline and nobody to stand in their way and say, no, this is the right way to go. What you're doing's wrong. Oh, no, no, whatever they feel is okay, you know, because you can't criticize anything. And that's the way people want God to be. Just stand back there and say, it's okay, whatever you do. God can't do that. He's a good Father. Amen. He disciplines His children. And the Bible goes so far as to say, if you're without chastisement, then you're not a child of God. The Bible clearly says, if you be in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. In other words, illegitimate. You say you're saved, but you're not. Because God disciplines His children. Why? Because He's good. He loves us. A good father is going to stand in the way of his children destroying themselves. He's going to do everything in his power. You know, the world's making it hard for parents to be good parents. Matter of fact, they'll reward you for being a bad parent. I could spend hours on that. Why? Because what they're trying to say with this attitude of God is that God's not good. He's just like us. He's just like us. God is good. And God's goodness dwells in the heart of a believer in the person of the Holy Spirit of God who indwells the believer at salvation. And we have to learn to yield ourselves to Him so that that goodness can be manifest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, I just pray that You take the message and use it. If there's one that's lost tonight, I pray for their salvation. I pray You'd open their eyes to see. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to understand the truth of Your Word. See, and Lord, we just look at Calvary's cross, and here we are coming up on the Easter Sunday, what the world calls Easter Sunday, and they're going to give lip service to the resurrection of Christ. And the sad thing about it is so many of them don't have any idea truly why Jesus died and why He rose from the dead. They don't understand that He died for them, that He bore their sins in His own body on the tree, that He shed His precious blood as an atonement for them, and He proved that He paid the penalty in full because He rose from the dead. Most of them don't even believe in the resurrection anymore. And most people are going to be worried about Easter bonnets and Easter eggs and Easter dresses and everything else. And while some of that may not be bad in and of itself, if that's what we get from a supposed celebration of the resurrection of Christ, something's dreadfully wrong. Lord, I just pray that You'd help us to realize and help the world see that You're good. Father, I just pray that You'd help those who are believers, the people in this church, to just yield to the Spirit of God so people can see Your goodness manifest through our lives. Help us, we pray, to understand what we need to do. Help us to just humble ourselves and just simply say yes when You speak to our hearts. Help us to do good. And Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.